You know, our names are very, very important to God. You know, it's why, as we read in the Bible, and we'll look at it a little bit later, it's why he's going to rename us in the kingdom of God. So if you were birthed with a name you're not fond of, at least have that to look forward to, that God will be giving us new names. In order to understand, you know, how important our new names will be, and it's not just an arbitrary thing that God is doing when he mentions that, I think it's important to first look at the example set before us by our elder brother, Jesus Christ. You know, throughout the Old and throughout the New Testaments, we find a plethora of names given to Christ. Christ, as he was known in the Old Testament, not by many people today or that acknowledge that it was actually that Logos, that being, but all of those names that we can read about in the Old Testament that refer to him, and the names that were obviously referring to him throughout the New Testament. You know, Christ is called by these names not just for adoration, not just for respect, but because his names are descriptions of who he is, of what role and roles he has been fulfilling. You know, Christ's name also has power. And probably one of the greatest uses of his name is used in our ability to communicate with the Father. In John 16:23, to read that. John 16, beginning in verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. To now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. You know, his very name that we use at the end of our prayers has power. It has meaning, and it has to not be taken advantage of. It cannot be a rote word that we express when we are done praying. Every time we use his name, every time we invoke his name, it has to be with a knowledge of the power and the glory that his name holds. In our book, Teach Us to Pray, we state, when we speak of Christ's name, we actually speak of Christ himself. When we understand how great his name is, we can begin to comprehend just how great he is. And when we realize that we can only be saved through the name of Christ, we can then recognize that we can only be saved through Christ himself. You know, understanding how important Christ's name is must begin by understanding who Christ is. Because it's very possible to not know who Christ is, even if, like the world around us, who professes to know his name, even if we invoke his name, even if we read about Christ, if we don't understand who he is through the Old and through the New Testament, the entire story about him, we cannot know him. We cannot possibly understand the importance of who he is. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You people who ignored all of the Bible, ignored the Father's will, Christ didn't know you. It doesn't matter. You cannot call upon that glorious name unless you know Christ, unless you have been given that opportunity through God's Holy Spirit. So I want to begin today by looking at the story of Christ, of who he is by the names that he has been given. And I'm focusing just today on the New Testament. There's probably another sermon's worth in the Old. And as we've heard in the sermonette, we've already heard two of those names. One, I didn't even have in my notes. There are so many different names, even in my list of New Testament names, I have left some out. So begin with, what is Christ called? In what ways has he been described and named to help us understand his role in our lives? And with going through many of these names, I've come up with some maybe general headings that I want to look at, the names that kind of speak to those headings. And for a lot of these I'm going to cite, I'll let you know when I'm going to turn to them because there are so many scriptures to look at. The first topic, or the first title, is He Has Always Existed. One of Christ's names is the Almighty One. In Revelation 1, verse 8, we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. In Revelation 22:13, we read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Christ has also been called I Am. In John 8, verse 58, I'll read, Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And in John 1, beginning in verse 1, let's turn to there. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, all things that were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend. And all of these first sets of names point to and prove, either through his own words or the words of his disciples, that Christ has always existed. Christ will always exist. And although he died, he is living today as our intercessor. Another heading is, He is the Son of God. I'm quoting some of these. One name is Beloved Son of God, Matthew 3, verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The very words of God, naming Christ who he is. Another name, Son of the Most High. Luke 1 and verse 30, let's turn there. Luke 1 and beginning in verse 30. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Again, that angel pointing directly to who Christ really is. And it wasn't just God himself It wasn't just God's angels, his emissaries that came to earth to bring those messages. Even Christ's adversaries knew exactly who he was. Matthew 4 and verse 3. Matthew 4, beginning in verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now, Christ didn't go to this man to tempt him because he didn't know who he was. He went there because he wanted to throw down, he wanted to destroy the chance of humanity by tempting, by misleading Christ. Satan knew exactly who he was. In Matthew 8, verse 28. Matthew 8 and beginning in verse 28. When he, and this is speaking of Christ, had come to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two demon-possessed men, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. You can pass over that. It seems like just something out of movies, something that you wouldn't see unless you were, unless that type of circumstance. Beginning of verse 29, or continuing to verse 29, and suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now, a good way off from them were a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Satan acknowledged who Christ was. His demons acknowledged who Christ was. The entirety of the spirit realm knew exactly who this being was. There was no question. And the demons knew his power. When Christ cast them out, it wasn't with a fanfare of priests around a bed chanting, trying to get a demons out. Christ simply said, as the Bible says, he said, "Go." It wasn't that elaborate process. His authority was without question amongst the spiritual realm. Another heading is he is supreme. He is given the name authority. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth." He is called Lord of all. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we've already seen in those other examples that those spiritual knees bowed. Those demons listened and knew exactly his authority. Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1. Hebrews 1, beginning in verse 1. God, who at various times and at various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through him whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. His name is above all. That's what we read there. He has a more excellent name than anything. He's also been called supreme creator over all. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15. Colossians 1, beginning in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Again, all of these scriptures lead us to him being called the authority, the Lord over all. His name is above all. It's more excellent than anything. And he is the supreme creator over all. You know, Christ is, without question, supreme. And that is why this earth is going to be thrown into such tumultuous disarray. The spiritual realm knows this authority. Mankind doesn't, except for us few. A very, very few understand that true authority and that true supremacy of Jesus Christ. And without that knowledge, mankind cannot know, cannot call upon Christ. That's why prayers mean nothing if you don't understand who you're praying to. Another heading is, he is the way and the truth. You know, the reason we are here today is because of Christ's sacrifice so many thousands of years ago, and because of his continual interaction with the called out ones as our advocate, as our high priest. Is why we were called and is why we continue to be part of God's plan. He has been called the advocate, 1 John 2, and beginning in verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you, so you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's been called faithful and true, Revelation 19 and 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. He has been called the truth, John 8 and verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, the world doesn't know the truth in that way. The world is still under those shackles by Satan's deception. But because we have had our minds open, that scripture, that understanding of who Christ is evident, is true. We understand it. We can comprehend it. Christ has been called our hope. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. He has been called the door. John 10, verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He has been called the way. John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's been called the bread of life. John 6 and verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, but he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's been called the deliverer. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. He's been called the resurrection and the life. John 11 and verse 25. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You know, all of these names point out that he is the way. He is the necessity of understanding the truth so that we can have access to God, so that we can have access to the resurrection, that we can have access to eternal life. But as I've said, mankind is not going through that door. Mankind has set up their own paths, and those paths are not the way. They're not leading. They're not being delivered. They are leading into eventual and the possibility of eventual and eternal death. In another heading, is that he was a sacrifice for the world. You know, the path that Christ opened up for mankind required of him and required of the Father the greatest of all sacrifices. Nothing can ever be sacrificed more so. Nothing has ever been sacrificed with greater importance than what Christ has done. One of his descriptions is one who sets free. John 8 and verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Christ is called the Redeemer. Job 19 and verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on earth. Even Job, even those who had their minds opened, understood exactly who this being was. He is called the risen Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 4. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He is most importantly for us here today called the sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4 and verse 10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the sacrifice for our sins. He is called the Savior. Luke 2 and verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He is called the Good Shepherd. John 10 and verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And as we heard in Frank's sermonette, the Chief Shepherd, pointing the same thing. This being that is leading by sacrifice, by the ultimate sacrifice, to give us an opportunity. He was called the Lamb of God. And that kind of highlights how he gave his life. He submitted. He did it willingly. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In another heading. I entitled it, He is the Cornerstone in which all things are based. He is called the Rock. 1 Corinthians 10, if you turn it there. 1 Corinthians 10, and beginning in starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, if you have questions who this being is, that's very blatant. Not by Old Testament people telling you who anything, like it's by reading in the New Testament, by Paul explaining exactly who that rock, who that God of the Old Testament was. And the whole story of Israel, based upon that time in their existence, was based upon what Christ was doing, that cornerstone role he was fulfilling. He's called the chief cornerstone. Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And although I said I wasn't going to use a lot in the Old Testament, there are a few. You can't help it. He's called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He's been called the head of the church. Ephesians 1 verses 22 through 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hebrews 4 and verse 14, you can turn there, he's called the great high priest. Hebrews 4 and beginning in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, that opportunity that he gave us, although his sacrifice only had to perhaps only ever have to happen once, him being our great high priest allows it to continue as his role as our priest, as our advocate. He is called the author and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him. He did it. He's been called a lamb. He did it willingly. He sacrificed himself. And he did it, amazingly, he did it joyfully, because he is trying to perfect and to begin our faith as well. He is called the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And you wonder, the world is in darkness. It's because of this. They refuse to follow Christ as God has commanded us to follow him. That is why the world is in darkness, why the world cannot see and understand that name of Christ as being the light of the world. He is called the mediator. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 through 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, or the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In another heading, titled, He is the Victorious Ruler Who Will Reign Forever. Revelation 17 and verse 14. He's called King of Kings. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb, and Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And I want to remember that scripture because as I finish up some of these names of Christ, I'm going to look at names of us. And those are some of the first ones that I want to, or this, a couple, that's an inkling of some of the names that we ourselves are called, brethren. Chosen and faithful, if we are following, if we have understood these names of Christ. Revelation 3, and verse 21, if you turn back to there. Revelation 3 and verse 21, he is called the Victorious One. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And as we read a little earlier, Isaiah 9, and Frank went into more detail with this, but Isaiah 9 and verse 6, this actually sums up four names. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. And that really sums up the eternal names and what Christ will be doing for eternity as it applies to us as well. He is that counselor that helps us, that intercedes for us. And that only scratches the surface of some names. He's also been called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Messiah, the Mighty One, Peace, the Prophet, the True Vine. And the more you understand and call upon these names, the more you understand Christ. The more you get the bigger picture of who he is, what he is for you and I. You know, understanding who Christ is by the breadth of roles he plays in each and every one of our lives enables us to rely on him as our mediator and to truly come before God and be heard. And that's the key. Many can call out upon God for help when they need it, but few, so very few in this world have been heard by the Father because of Christ's sacrifice. Because, you know, God isn't just a deity that cares nothing for humanity. As Christ states in John 14, God is equally vested in us just as Christ was. John 14, beginning of verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to them, how have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words which I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You know, the Father was not known, was not revealed until Christ came here, at least to the general world. And yet, knowing Christ's names means that we know the Father as well. All of these traits, all of these characteristics are reflective in the Father as well. It's why we can be heard. Once we understand, once we are accepted and are doing what pleases God and pleases Christ, that's why we can be accepted and heard by both of them, by the Father. So what does God, what is Christ, what have they called of their servants? I mentioned a couple earlier, or mentioned to those of us who persevere throughout our lives to attain that reward. You know, those servants that have the opportunities to become those younger siblings of Christ, the firstborn after Christ. You know, names, I said earlier, are equally as important to God in how he describes each and every one of us. Just like he shows through the many names, or we've seen through the many names of Christ to describe his works and what he is fulfilling, our name that God will eventually give to us will do the same. And he has on occasion even changed the names of some of his followers on earth. Genesis 17 in verse 5. Genesis 17 and beginning in verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Skipping to verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Two people who God changed their name because of who they would become, what roles they would play within his plan. Genesis 32. Genesis 32 and beginning of verse 28. And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Jacob's name changed because of what he did and what he became, a father as well of many, many nations. John 1, verse 42. John 1, and beginning of verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Peter, that rock that the church was strengthened by. Who was that core leader in the early church? You know, he's also given many descriptions according to people's roles and importance in his plans. Jeremiah 11, verse 14. Jeremiah 11 and beginning of verse 14. "So do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. What has my beloved to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many, and the holy flesh has passed from you? When you do evil, then you rejoice. The Lord called your name Green Olive Tree, lovely and of good fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire, and its branches have broken. For the Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced doom against you for the evil of the house of Israel and for the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal." Now he called Israel his special people. Now, it's while he was pronouncing judgment on them, they weren't doing what they should, and he was judging them because of who they were. Israel was his special people. And whenever they fell, they had judgment, sometimes terrible judgment, placed upon them. Luke 1, verse 76. Luke 1 and verse 76. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us." A prophet of the highest. John fulfilled an incredible role in what he did, what he was called to do. Not many were like him, as the Bible states. So what about our names? We read as a people. We read a couple already. Just turn with me to Isaiah 62, starting at verse 11. Isaiah 62, and verse 11. "Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. We are called God's holy people. Matthew 12, starting at verse 46. Matthew 12 and beginning in verse 46. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. We are called Christ's brothers and sisters. Those that will receive an inheritance like our elder brother, if we are those holy people. You know, we are warned as this age draws to a close about the falsification of true Christianity. And we are to be on guard for the false uses of Christ's name. Matthew 24 and verse 4. Matthew 24 and beginning in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. People using that false knowledge, trying to use that knowledge of Christ, and they will lead many astray. You know, names are of great importance, especially as we see throughout different parts of the book of Revelation. For one, we must not, if we wish to be part of God's holy people, of Christ's brothers and sisters, we must not deny his name. Revelation 3 and verse 8. Revelation 3 and in verse 8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. That door, that opening for us, requires that we don't deny his name. Revelation 11 and verse 18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth. We're rewarded for fearing the name of Christ. We must also have God's name on our foreheads. Revelation 14 and verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on the Mount of Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And the same thing in Revelation 3 and 12. Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. You know, whether literal or symbolic, we must reflect God's name in all of our actions. You know, if people look at us, they should see God's character being exemplified, just as though we had his name written across us, across our foreheads. Because if we are going to be part of those people that have been named, we must mirror God's character. And most importantly, Revelation 17 and 8, we must have our names written in the book of life. Revelation 17 and verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So there are people that do not have their name written, and their story does not end well. We must have our names, whatever those new names are, whatever those new names exemplify by our actions and our lives that God will give us at his return, those names must be written in the book of life. Revelation 2, one final scripture. Revelation 2, verse 17. This is speaking about those of us that do persevere. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. That new name that we are given, that means something special to God because of who we are, of what we do, what purpose we fulfill, has to be written in that book that I just mentioned. So, brethren, what are new names going to be? Well, only God knows at this time. So let's make sure that we aren't jeopardizing our chance at eternal life by having our name removed from that book, like some will. And like the examples of our elder brother, by doing things in this life that will give us an eternal and lasting name.